Hello, everybody, and welcome to Geek Tyrant Weekly. This is episode number 122. I am your host, Venkman, and joining me today on the podcast, we have Mazer.
It's very hot in California, I'm just saying.
It is kind of hot.
It's like 90s, and it's already almost 9 o'clock at night.
Yep.
That's kind of hot.
Hardcore.
It's good times. It's good times right there.
Although I've been enjoying eating ice cream every night. Just saying.
Yeah. All right. Ice cream's good. Ben?
What's up, man?
Not much. How you doing?
I am hot as well. I'm not too far from Mazer's domicile. I am also hot. So, yeah, it's good times, though. Good stuff.
I'm right up the street from you guys, and I'm, like, freezing.
You're insane.
I don't know what's going on. You guys are all complaining it's hot. Sheesh.
Well, you do live in the Batcave.
You're right, I do. Tiberius, what's up, buddy?
I'm doing well. Having stayed in that Batcave for a couple of nights, I can attest to it's cool and damp. You know, it feels that way. So, yeah, that's good. That's good.
There you go. And also joining us for the first time on our podcast is Robot Reagan.
What? Welcome.
What's up,
guys?
Great
to have you, man.
Oh, it's certainly great to be here in voice form. Yeah.
Yeah. Holograms coming soon, guys. Just working on it.
All right.
Just around the corner.
Yeah.
Hey, just a quick question, guys. Have you seen this chocolate, this air bubble chocolate that's like becoming a fad?
Yeah,
it's like chocolate filled with air.
No.
So it's just a thin shell of chocolate?
No, they puncture it.
They
like aerate it.
Yeah.
What?
How big are we talking here? Is it like a Hershey bar size?
No, you're talking regular size. Regular size candy bar. They do Hershey Kisses now. Does it?
Okay.
And they have these like air bubbles in it.
So it's like nice.
It costs exactly the same. They don't lower the price, even though more than half of the chocolate is gone because it's filled with air. I don't get it.
May I ask, what's the point of eating air?
Fewer calories.
Helps you live.
Fewer calories. That seems like something that they've designed specifically to trick old people into buying at stores when they're like at the checkout aisle or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Very good point, Ben.
It's weird. Anyway, I just wanted to see if you guys had heard of that or not. So, whatever. Let's get on to some box office numbers, shall we? Number one at the box office this weekend was The Help, getting $19.8 million. And this in its third – it's been in one for 3 weeks now, hasn't it?
Yeah, this is its third week.
Look at that. I honestly would have never thought that would happen, but it did.
Well, guess
it's
what?
A great movie.
Yeah, it's just what else is it up against?
Yeah, that's what happens when anybody goes up against Apollo 18 and Shark Knight 3D, also playing in 2D.
It's funny because, you know, I had Raffy on the podcast from
Raffy.
The film stage. Yeah,
okay.
Raffy as Dorian. And he was saying that it reminds him of Eat, Pray, Love, and Racism. So it has that kind of feel to it. And I have to agree, because it's a mixture. It's a feel good look at racism in the South.
A feel good look at racism.
Yeah, well, that's what it is.
That should be on
those
the,
together.
That should be on the movie poster.
It's a good look at. Oh boy.
There's your Tiberius quote of the day right there.
Yeah, that's my Tiberius quote of the day for sure.
Okay.
Write that down.
Gonna work on
so
my
in
calendar
in
for 2012.
One, right? That's the one with Emma Stone, right?
Yeah, it's the one with Emma Stone. But
well, that's
Joe,
why it's doing number one. She's fire.
Well, yes. Yeah. Yes, you're right. You're right, Mick. Or
you
you're
know,
right,
take seriously. You take all the racism, the positive message. You throw it out because you put Emma Stone in there. She's hot. She's sexy. I love her more than Jim Carrey, hands down.
Seems like a really random comparison, but okay.
But you,
Jim
oh,
Carrey loves her.
You don't know. Hey, come on. Yeah. You don't know about that?
I totally forgot about that.
You know what? Now that you mention it, yeah, I remember reading a headline. I didn't hear anything else.
That makes perfect sense.
For those who haven't seen it, it's a video of Jim Carrey basically professing his love to Emma Stone, but in a creepy, like, joking way. I don't know.
In the way an uncle would to his adopted niece.
Pretty much. it was that creepy. You're right.
Yeah.
All right, number two, the debt. Yep. So that happened. $12.8 million.
That's what was. It's Sam not in debt anymore.
That's the one, with Sam Worthington. Yeah, nice one.
That movie just looks heavy.
Yes.
Like, I don't even know if it. I don't know. It didn't really look that interesting to me in the first place, but.
Sam Worthington and Helen Mirren, maybe.
It's one of those movies I can wait for when it comes out on Blu-ray or something. Number three, Apollo 18, $10.7 million. We all knew that wasn't really going to do very well at the box office. Number four, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, brought in 10.3. The top five, Shark Night 3D at 10.1. Shark Night 3D. Did anybody see that? No?
Mm-hmm. No.
I saw that scene with, like, the shark taking the dude off the jet ski, and that's, like, the only reason I want to see it is just for that scene. Because
you've already seen the scene.
Well, I don't care. Well, yeah, but I want to see it in 3D, obviously.
Oh, okay.
Ah, 3D.
I don't know. I got a chance to talk to David R. Ellis recently, the director, and he seemed like a really laid-back guy, kind of nice to talk to. And the interview's up at geektyrant.com in case you guys wanted to check it out. But
what's that website?
I don't know if you guys know that website, but it is geektyrant.com. The cool thing is 70% of the movie was filmed underwater. So that's kind of a cool thing. I'm kind of interested in maybe seeing it just because of that. You know, 70% underwater, maybe in 3D. I liked Piranha 3D. And I don't know, I thought it was a lot of fun and campy. And this might be that way, too. I just didn't see it this weekend.
Whose job do you think was to get the percentage of how much of the film was underwater? Do you think they put an intern on that?
They probably did.
Like, there was just a dude sitting around. He's like, what are you doing? He's like, what? He's like, well, you watch this movie and take percentages down. How much water? The guy's like, I'm not even good at math.
I have heard that if you guys do get a chance to check out a shark, what is it? Shark Knight 3D? Revenge of the Shark Knight? Yeah, whatever.
Not Shark Knight Rises, no.
Yeah, the Shark Knight Rises. Oh, that's amazing. Anyway, if you do see that movie, you're supposed to stick around until the credits are over, because there's apparently some sort of post-credits thing that's worth seeing. So
the Shark Avengers.
I was just going to say, do they show some Avengers footage?
Yeah, we threw some Avengers footage into the end of Shark Night 3D just because we could.
That would be awesome. They probably would have made more money.
Yes, they would have.
Do you guys want to go down memory lane? You want to do some box office history?
Yeah, let's go down. Let's go down memory lane. Take us there, Ben.
All right. How about the weekend of September 1st through 4th in good old 1995?
1995.
Yeah.
1995.
Any guesses as to what may have occupied the top 10 slots in that year? I'm going to throw you guys away with number one. I'm going to tell you that.
I'm going to throw out Toy Story.
No, that's not
it. Casper.
Story and Casper are both incorrect. Casper's number 21. Right. But
I'm going to throw out... I just had a name and now it's gone.
Jurassic Park.
I think that was the year before.
Okay, yeah. I was like six during this time period, so cut me a little slack here.
Ah, 1995.
One of these movies stars Tom Hanks and Kevin Bacon.
Forrest Gump. Oh, never mind.
And who?
Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
Oh.
Gary Sinise, I think, is in it too.
Oh, Forrest Gump?
Nope.
No, Kevin Bacon. Kevin Bacon.
No, wait.
Who else is in this movie?
Apollo 13.
Yes.
Yes, Apollo 13. Yep. 13.
That's number 10.
Oh, wait. Braveheart.
Oh, no, Braveheart's not in here.
I think that's 93.
How is that not in there?
I don't know. It's that wait, specific weekend, 93? Man.
Wow. Bastards.
One of them put Coolio on the map. You guys might or might not know.
Oh, the one with Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yep.
Oh, Dangerous Minds.
Yes.
Yeah, Dangerous Minds.
There we go. Let's see. One of them features a talking pig.
Babe.
Yes.
Yeah. Got it. What?
One of these we just talked about on the Not Just New Movies podcast, actually. Kaiser Soze, anyone?
Usual suspects.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Costner in perhaps his biggest bomb?
The Postman.
Waterworld.
I guess that. Waterworld. I guess that's true. I forgot about The Postman, but yeah, Waterworld.
The Postman is an epic film about postal workers. On horses.
How can
it was
go
a love
wrong?
Letter. It was a love letter.
I just don't see how that can go wrong. That just sounds like a winner.
I don't know how.
All right, there's one movie that you guys aren't gonna get because I have no idea what this is, and it's called A Walk in the Clouds. I've never heard of that.
Keanu Reeves. Yeah. And Charlize Theron.
Oh, okay.
Right.
All right.
No.
Yeah, he wears an odd hat in that movie.
That was like Sweet November or something, wasn't it? I don't know.
No, Charlize Theron is not
in it. That was Sweet November. A Walk in the Clouds?
Yeah, it's got Keanu Reeves. It's like post-World War II. And ooh. He like meets a woman who got dumped by her fiancé and she's pregnant. So he pretends to be the fiancé so she can save face with her family, ends up falling in love with a girl. Da, 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 da.
Oh, wow.
Mazur, do you own this on DVD?
No.
I can't believe the Power Rangers movie wasn't on there.
I know. Oh. Must have been a couple 95, weekends before.
Where was Braveheart on that list?
It's not there, man. I don't see it. It's not in the top 20.
I don't think it opened that year.
Yeah, did it open 95?
I could have sworn it was like 93.
I'll look that up. It's 95.
It's 95.
Braveheart's 95. I'm just
because
not sure.
Because I know it was maybe up against like Apollo 13.
Yeah. Oh, well. Robot's got that on lockdown. May 24th, 95 was the release for it. So.
Yeah, I Googled it. So what?
Yeah, that's several months out.
All arguments.
Okay, so getting to the rest of these, just to round them out real quick. The Prophecy was on there as well.
Nice.
Desperado was on there.
Yes.
Nice movie. And the number one is a video game movie. I want to see if you guys can guess it.
Oh.
Number one was a video game movie?
Yeah. Resident Evil?
It's not Resident Evil. It's not Doom. 1995. This is probably arguably one of the worst.
I want to say it so bad.
Super Mario Brothers?
Nope.
No.
It's in that House realm of the Dead. Of terribleness.
Was it a U Bull directed film?
Get over here.
It was not. Oh, somebody just made a reference to it.
Finish Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Really?
Mortal Kombat, the first one.
Yes, sir.
Sorry, yeah.
Number one at the box office. How crazy is that?
That's because I went to see it on opening day.
It was an awesome movie.
That's when video game movies were good.
Yeah, that's when they were legit.
Oh, remember Super Mario Brothers?
Yeah, I actually read something about that movie. Apparently John Leguizamo drank heavily on the set for that. He was like, he apparently went into rehab after the movie. Probably because it was so bad.
Awesome.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Whatever, guys. What are we talking about next? So.
Now, what are we talking about next? Reviews. Why don't we go through some of the movies we saw recently? Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, anybody?
I don't like it here.
You just had a nightmare.
I'll be right here. Where's my doll? They don't like bright lights, you know. They're horrible.
Who, Sally?
Those things.
We want to be your friend. Get the light.
Yes.
Anybody? Yes?
Yeah. Did anybody else see this?
Was that the only one?
I saw it.
I didn't see it. I did not see it.
I heard many mixed things that I was like, I don't know.
I'll wait till DVD.
Yeah.
Okay, Ben, what'd you think?
Dude, this was the biggest disappointment of 2011 for me. Because you and
really?
I and a lot of the other guys saw footage from this at Comic-Con in 2010, and it scared the crap out of me. This was like one of the bigger surprises of Comic-Con, and it was like, oh man, this movie's gonna be so great. And Guillermo del Toro was all there, and you know, he's got like the geek, you know, he's got like the geek's interest in mind, right? Like that's what he's known for, is like, you know, playing to that crowd, which is our crowd basically, and just like being really into everything, and people can trust him. And he was going off on this big rampage about how this movie is rated R for pervasive scariness, and they were bragging about how proud they were from the MPAA about getting that rating because they didn't have to rely on blood and guts and gore, and it was just really scary and so great. And we were all psyched about it. That was like one of the most impressive things I saw at Comic-Con that year. And then the movie finally comes out, and it's like nothing really happens in it, and it's not scary at all. What did you think?
You know, I enjoyed it for what it was, but it wasn't scary.
Yeah.
I was there, you know, it wasn't, I wasn't creeped out. I was like, oh, that's pretty, you know, I was like, oh, that's cool. That was neat. You know, that's kind of what my attitude was like during the film, but I wasn't completely blown away by the scariness of it, because it really wasn't that scary. And
well,
you know,
I saw an interview. He did. He said he commented that the movie was kind of more of a traditional kind of like horror film. And it was based off a made-for-TV movie. Was it kind of more in that vein kind of scare?
Yeah,
suspenseful,
exactly.
Or was it just kind of...
I, you know, even the suspense wasn't really there for me.
Yeah, because like there were no stakes. Because
I like a good old-fashioned ghost story. I'm not, you know, going to knock... I like them more than I like, you know, the hardcore blood gore slasher, you know, torture porn film. But, you know,
torture porn films. Yes, of course.
Yep.
Go on.
Yeah. You know how it is. But yeah, so I don't know. It didn't really click with me like I was hoping it would. Maybe my expectations were just built up so much that when I ultimately saw it, I was just kind of disappointed with the outcome.
Yeah, and I guess we should mention that Guillermo del Toro did not direct this movie. He just produced it and co-wrote it, but a guy named Troy Nixie directed it. It was his first feature, and it just feels like, because Guillermo del Toro was doing so much hyping of this movie, that it felt like he would have much more involvement in it, I guess. And in the final product, you see that he... You can see his influence a little bit, but not nearly as much as we all would have liked. Like, the creature designs, which is clearly something that he excels at, were pretty awful in this movie. Just lazy, I thought. You know, it's like these tiny little
demon pixies.
Little hunchback creatures that don't pose any real threat to anyone. It seems like the characters could have easily just kicked them in the face and killed them on impact because they're tiny, but nobody thinks to do that over the course of the movie. And
I was trying to think of why this movie would even be rated R.
And that's the thing, is really... I can't think of a reason. There's one guy that gets stabbed a bunch of times, but that's really kind of it. Like, there's not really that much there that deserves an R rating. So I don't know if the MPAA has been, you know, kidnapped and replaced with, you know, 6-year-old girls or what, but
the only thing I can think of is that the movie was focused on the terrorizing of a little girl. Just And as far as content goes, I don't know if that was it or not.
Yeah.
But
should we say whatever. A spoiler at all? Or
no, that's what the movie's about, basically.
No, that's what the movie's about.
There's
no spoilers here.
And Venkman, okay. I don't want to get too far into it because clearly nobody else really cares about what we're talking about here. But since we've already got on the subject, what did you think?
What?
Well, I mean, you know, what I'm trying to say is you guys haven't seen the movie, so there's not really a lot that we can really, like, delve into as far as legit conversation. But, Venkman, you saw that movie Brothers with Bailey Madison, the girl in this movie.
Oh, yeah. She's amazing in that movie.
Yeah, I remember it because I never saw Brothers, but I remember you kind of singing her praises along with the other guys who saw that movie. What did you think about her performance in Don't Be Afraid of the Dark?
She did fine. She was good in the role.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, decent young actress.
Yeah, I didn't think that it was anything really special. She did bear like a striking resemblance to Katie Holmes, though, which was kind of odd considering Katie Holmes was supposed to be like her kind of quasi-stepmother.
Yeah. Not even her soon-to-be stepmother.
Yeah.
Basically, they aren't related.
Yeah, but this movie, I mean, for me, I would say probably it's not worth seeing for anybody who's listening to this podcast. That's just my take on it because I think like there's the typical haunted house stupid things that these characters do, like wander down into places by themselves when they clearly shouldn't, and you know, just a lot of the kind of conventional stuff that we've come to expect from this kind of genre. And there's really nothing that elevates it above just a mediocre movie, aside from maybe like the production design, like the mansion looks kind of cool and stuff like that. But I mean, that's really not worth 2 hours of your time. So
I even went to a midnight showing of it, and there was like no reaction from the audience either. So it was like everyone was just kind of disappointed in it.
Yeah, that's got to be even more disappointing, a midnight showing.
Yeah, because usually the midnight showings are off the hook, yo.
Yeah.
Hey, now Ben, do you want to take a little?
What's up,
Ben? Should we take a little bit of a break right now so you can go out back and beat the crap out of Troy Nixie some more and maybe spit in his face for a crappy movie? Is that what you'd like to do?
Do you think Guillermo del Toro said he was disappointed in him after opening night? He's like, you failed me. You made a fool out of me. No one will see Hobbit.
Oh man,
I'll never make another movie again.
I don't feel bad about talking bad about this movie because it did such a good job of building up my expectations and then just pulling the rug out from under me. So I feel...
You know, and I kind of agree with Ben on this one.
Yeah.
So
at the end of the day, it was a remake of a made-for-TV movie.
There you go.
What do you expect, you know?
Way to sum it up. We could have just said that, Ben.
Yeah, I guess. But just like the involvement of Del Toro in general seems to indicate that you could raise your expectations a little bit, and that's sadly not the case here, basically. So
yeah, it won't be doing that again.
Yeah.
So, all right, so Jim saw Conan the Barbarian.
I see a journey. A man crossing the sands.
A knight.
A warrior. Your paths will merge.
Yes, I did.
You want to tell us how much you loved this movie?
I didn't love it. That's just the thing. I mean,
wait.
Jason Momoa. I did not love it. I did not love it. Believe it or not.
What?
I know, and I'm one of the people that typically on this panel would be one of the easiest and maybe most forgiving critics, I would have to say, aside from Venkman and myself. So, I mean, you know, Conan the Barbarian is really not a movie to forgive at all. Jason Momoa was decent. You know, I like seeing him on the screen. I think he has a definite future in action films. I just don't think that this is it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Go ahead, Mip, or Robot Reagan.
This is just I had a friend who saw it, and he said nobody else in the theater was shocked by this. But this is his words. He said that in the beginning of the movie, the baby, this soldier, just like killed this pregnant woman, like sliced open her insides and pulled Conan out of her. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
That is how the movie begins.
The movie begins with with Conan's mother being mortally wounded and about to die, and her saying to her husband,
open.
No. She was sliced open on purpose, not by somebody else. She was like wounded with a. She might have gotten. I can't remember specifically if it was by sword or by arrow, but she was about to die. Okay, and she said her last words before she wanted to die. Her last wish was to see her baby. I don't know why a pregnant woman would be on the battlefield anyway, but this is Conan the Barbarian, keep in mind. So he was literally born on the battlefield, and basically his Ron Perlman, who played his father, who was great in one of the better parts of the film, slices his wife's stomach open, pulls out the baby, she holds the baby, then she dies.
One of the most brutal C-sections ever.
Oh, God.
Yes. 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 Thank you for bringing that point up. I don't know. That's hard.
Said,
the first part of the film was cool. The first part of the film was pretty decent. The rest of the movie, it just lacked a lot of things. The best part for me, aside from the action that was somewhat decent, I was expecting a little bit more. I'll talk about 2 points. First and foremost, the production, actually the practical sets were great. The special effects, visual effects, not so much. They left a lot to be desired. And everything that you saw in the trailers and the featurettes and all the clips that we shared were pretty much all the cool parts of the movie. That's the thing I can't stand. That I learned one more thing, that you can basically die by hitting a tree, or better yet, by being thrown into a giant brick wall. You're dead.
Ask Sonny
you're
Bono.
Dead because blood splatters every. Well, keep in mind he was going at a high rate of speed on skis. Not to say that. You know, I'm talking about someone picking you up and throwing you into a rock, and you're dead because blood splatters everywhere. And that's just how the film goes throughout the whole thing.
Happens all the time to me. You know how many people I've killed accidentally throwing them into rocks.
Well, okay. You don't want to. Damn it. I'm trying to make a point, man. Okay, fair enough. That's all I had to say. That's a crap movie. Right. Don't waste your time.
That's what I've been hearing from everybody. So,
yep.
I haven't seen the movie. Don't plan on it.
Don't.
There was another movie that opened up limited release this weekend that I kind of just wanted to touch on that Mazer and I went and saw. Detective D.
She was to be China's first Supreme Empress. The ruler of all rulers. But someone or something will kill to stop her.
Yeah.
Rock yeah. on.
It's kind
That's
of
a
like,
good movie, man.
Yeah, it's got a huge epic scale, and it's kind of like Sherlock Holmes with kung fu.
It's exactly what it's like.
Plus the Lord of the Rings.
Awesome.
It's huge.
Yeah, it's
got
the Lord of the Rings epicness to it. So it's got these just huge sets, and this world is just.
There's some pretty crazy action pieces that go on for like 20 minutes.
It's really inventive. They get inventive with their fight sequences in this movie. It's been a long time since I've seen martial arts film like this that just really like.
They went for it.
Hit me. Yeah, they just went all out, and it was awesome. I mean, and it's a movie that, you know, I know it's only in limited release, but if it's playing in a theater near you, check it out, because damn.
You know, it just makes me wonder what about Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon made it go into wider release. Was it just because there was like Oscar buzz or something about it, or I just wonder why a movie like
maybe it just got a you know, the distributor decided to put a lot of money behind it.
Yeah.
Just rolled the dice and put a gamble on it, you know?
I think it was probably a little bit more new to audiences, to American audiences anyway, back then.
Yeah.
Something of that scale, but yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, so I'd say check it out. It's pretty epic in size. I think we have some clips of it on Geek Tyrant that you can see that are just really...
Oh, yeah.
Really crazy stuff.
There's also a cool clip I posted not too long ago of Sui Hark, the director, who is a legend in the craft of fight choreography and all that type of stuff. He was talking about the history that went into the film production, as well as some of the choreography and the fight scenes, how he shot some of those scenes. And it seemed pretty intense.
Yeah, it's because this guy was a real guy, which kind of seems ridiculous. It seems to me like a Chinese tall tale. Like, they took someone who's real and, like, just hyped up every single detail about
it. Like Ip Man? Did you guys see Ip Man?
I love Ip Man.
I just watched the first two. I just watched the two Ip Man movies, and I was just blown away. Oh,
Ip Man made Donnie Yen the, like, baddest ass Asian on my list right now. Like,
yep.
Yeah.
Agree.
I agree.
But Ip Man 2, yeah. I was disappointed by.
I was too. It wasn't as good as I thought, but I still enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was all right. I mean, the action scenes were good.
Yeah.
Not decent enough.
Well, not the same. It's not the same caliber as Ip Man.
He like took a bullet like through the heart in the end of the first movie and like thwarts the Japanese. Not really, but like it felt like he accomplished something. And then the second one, it's like, oh, you're just, oh, I'm living in Hong Kong trying to make a buck. Like, okay, that's cool. Honestly, I didn't even finish it. I'm gonna be honest. I went to bed like an hour into it.
Well, then, sir, I must say that you missed out, because some of the fight sequences are pretty intense. And I was going to ask, how do the fight sequences, Venkman, now that you've seen Detective D and both of the Ip Mans, how do they match up? I know it's a completely
they don't match up at all. I mean, Detective D has more fantasy. I mean, it's got martial arts, but it's more set in a fantasy realm. So you got, you know,
lots of high flying jumps.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
He fights deer.
He fights a deer in the movie.
He fights several deer. He like kicks them.
Dude, that happens
in...
all the time in Indiana. You don't even want to know.
He kicks them in the neck, and they charge him, and
he
like there's
kicks
crazy
a
like
deer in the neck.
Yeah, there's crazy like multiple.
What did he do to the deer to make them that angry?
They're enchanted.
They're enchanted deers.
Yeah.
You guys want to hear something crazy? There's no joke. There's no joke. A guy that lives in my city, he had a deer break in through his daughter's house. This man went over to the house and had a 45-minute hand-to-hand fight with this deer, which ended in him snapping the deer's neck and going to the hospital with being impaled 4 times by the deer's antlers.
Wow.
Yeah, it happened.
I wish you would have got that on video.
Well, I wish I would have too. That was pretty. I couldn't even believe it. It was in the news the next day, and gets an almost hour long fight with deer.
Wow.
I never knew deer were that fighting.
They should make a movie just about that. That guy fighting that deer.
Yeah.
Just that's it.
Play it out in real time.
Play it out in real time. What he was doing before he got in the fight, and then him in the hospital.
Maybe like a dramatic scene with like a gun on the wall, and he's like, no, I want to get my hands.
Yes. That would be amazing. Wow.
That sounds
anyway.
Awesome.
So Detective D with its deer fight scenes, it's recommended watch.
Yeah, yeah. The full title of the movie is Detective D and the Mystery of the Phantom Flame. Because I don't think we said that.
Yeah, he's investigating. Anyway. He's investigating people that are spontaneously combusting.
Wow.
Fair enough.
Wait. I wasn't sold before, but now that I know the true feel of the film, you have me sold.
Now that you know the true meaning of Christmas.
Yes, exactly. All right. This is what I'm wondering is why wasn't this film, since it's such a limited release, why aren't they going the route of also doing it an instantaneous video on demand release cycle at the same time?
I don't know.
It should be.
I don't know. It should.
Yeah, I think it's only going to be in theaters for a short time, and I think they're releasing it, in 3-4 months?
Yeah, something like that.
Already? So.
And depending on how well it does in LA and New York, it may go wider.
Sure,
but,
sure.
You know, it all depends on if people see it or not.
Probably won't make it to my city.
Probably not. Sorry.
I might see it in a couple years, so it's cool.
So who's up for some George Lucas bashing? Anybody?
I love George Lucas, so I'm really not up for it, but I'll join in.
Yeah, I just...
Be quiet, kiss ass.
I just...
What does Jive Turkey just say? You serious? That dude... No, seriously. If I had one idea in my life that I could make billions upon billions of dollars marketing the hell out of it... Oh, man. It just makes me mad about these Blu-ray releases. And I don't even really care that much, but I do care because he's doing it. Because I've talked to Joey about this. He knows. He knows. It's a sham. It's a sham, I say. And he's just, going to release this, and fans are going to be like, oh, this is awful. And then he's going to be like, all right, well, I'll re-release it. And they're like, oh, we'll just buy that. And, well, now you have two copies of a Blu-ray when you only needed one in the first place. So George Lucas just hustled you out of, possibly around $70. And he's going straight to the bank with that. And then, you got the people who are going to be, avid collectors. They're going to be like, oh, man, I need to keep on that Blu-ray with all the weird stuff on it, because that'll be worth money someday. But it won't be worth shit, man. It won't be worth anything. And George Lucas has hustled you for even more cash, because if you buy that, it makes me mad. I'm sorry. Sorry. I think about this a lot.
I think that's a pretty accurate breakdown of how a lot of people feel about it.
I don't.
Next year you've got, they start releasing, they release the first Phantom Menace in theaters in 3D next year. So, and then, that's awesome. Once they're all released in 3D, they're going to release the Blu-ray 3D disc sets.
Yep.
It's going to be,
yeah.
George Lucas is going to be making money off this, and after he'll probably make more money off it after he's dead.
Doesn't he have three TV shows coming out? Why does he need this money? How many ex-wives does he have?
I don't think it's about the money for him. I really don't.
All right, Tiberius.
It's about the women.
It's about the women and the big yachts.
Real fast. Did anybody watch Curb Your Enthusiasm last week?
No.
I think I might have seen. I don't know. When
the therapist said, "I knew this guy. He directed Star Wars, and he had He had a thing with using prostitutes and hiring prostitutes. He loved them.
Yeah.
And then went on this whole tangent of George Lucas and prostitutes. It was pretty funny.
Yes, that was also the episode with the Larry David's seat that is also known as a vibrator or dildo as he's driving along. So there you go. You have to watch the episode.
Yeah, I'm watching Curb this season. You gotta get on that shit. Okay. Back to Star Wars and George.
The Dragon Call pisses me off the most. Can I just that drunken frat boy? What the hell is that?
I'll agree with you. This is my feeling. Let me just share this. I'm all for making a film look better and sound better. However, that sound is one that I could care less for hearing. I don't want to hear that.
What do you think about Darth Vader? No.
Yep.
I don't like that at all. I don't like either of those additions. I don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think about the Ewoks with eyelids?
I can live with that.
I can live with that.
That is livable. I won't even notice.
It actually did always weird me out that they never blinked, to be honest.
I thought it was a superpower.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I can also definitely live with the updated and new and improved Yoda. I think it looks even better.
Oh, in episode one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about the controversial Han shoots second, how they changed that scene? What about that?
They need to...
They need
to switch that back. They need to put that back the way it was.
Look, we'll just wait 20 years till after Lucas is dead and we'll have the Citrion collection.
Yeah.
He'll still be alive. He'll still be alive peddling the same shit. You guys want to buy some Star Wars?
You know he's going to take more money off it. Here's the original trilogy in its original form in Blu-ray. No changes. And that's how he's going to get everybody to rebuy his package again.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. If you don't like it, don't buy it. It's that simple.
I ain't going to buy it, fool. Don't say I was going to buy it.
A lot of people I talk to are like, and that's why I'm not buying it.
Yeah.
Fine. Don't. Show them with your wallets, people. I mean, if you don't want to buy it and you don't agree with it, don't buy it.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. My thing on this is, like, I love the concept of the one-hit wonder in, like, the American music culture, right? Like, you do one thing right in your life, and you can just bank on it for the rest of your life. That's the American dream right there. And that's what George Lucas did with Star Wars. And I, you know, to some degree, I don't begrudge him for, like, making as much money off of this one thing as possible. My problem comes with when he alters the very DNA of his movie and then doesn't offer the original version alongside of it. You can make as many changes as you want. That's fine. That's great. And that's all stuff for the fans and for him, maybe if Lucas is just wanting to mess with it and whatever. But I think you need to make the original, like, untouched version, like the theatrical version, the version that people saw and remember and loved, make that available to people too. And then you can do whatever you want after that. It doesn't matter.
I'm
really surprised it's not included, is what I'm thinking. It just doesn't make sense.
He's going to sell it separately. It does make sense. He's going to sell it separately because he's a hustler.
Yeah.
He's a hustler and he's been hustling nerds for years.
Yeah.
I'll buy into it.
We've seen other directors like Ridley Scott and Steven Spielberg for like Blade Runner and Close Encounters of the Third Kind release the original and multiple versions. Like Close Encounters has like four versions.
Yeah,
and
Blade Runner has four versions of the movie.
And Blade Runner has three different versions on it. So it's like
So you can't get away with the excuse
your
of like
footsteps, Lucas.
Yeah, you can't get away with the excuse of, oh, it won't fit on a disc, because Close Encounters proves that it will, you know. So
well, Blu-ray discs and those type of, you know, it's that kind of argument is null and void.
Yeah.
In today's, you know, yeah, totally. No, that can fit.
Yeah, and I think you know, Robot has got it right. Like Lucas has just figured out the pattern. Why, if he can make money off of it, why wouldn't he? So it's, you know, it's just like Tiberius said. If you don't agree with it, just don't buy it. Stop bitching about it, people.
Yeah.
I also think it's funny. Did you guys see the article that I posted of George Lucas speaking out against altering films?
Yes.
No, I saw that you'd posted it, but I didn't read too in depth on it. What's all that about?
Well, he pretty much, you know.
This was back in like 88 or something.
Yeah, this is back in 88. I think it was it Turner Classic Movies.
Mm-hmm,
got a hold of a bunch of black and white films, and they started to colorize the black and white films. And so George Lucas and some other filmmakers kind of like, well, we can't alter these movies because they're classics. They have to kind of stay the same. Let's not change, you know, these people's work by colorizing them. And he gave this big, passionate speech about how people that go in and change these movies and alter them one way or another calls these people barbarians. And, like, you know, it's just really gets down and dirty on all this stuff. And at the same time, you know, I know he owns Star Wars, so he could do what he wants, but he should, in my opinion, I feel like he should have set the example and just left well enough alone, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He calls people who would make these changes, quote, egotistical gangsters, which is really awesome.
Yeah.
So little did he know that he would become his own gangster.
George Lucas is fighting against himself. So I just thought it was interesting to see that at one point he actually believed in what we, you know, we all believe. But obviously that kind of went down the drain when he wanted to make some money.
This is the thing, though. I still don't think that he's doing it as much for the money as for the fact that he's an insanely obsessive individual that has to, in his mind, wants to continuously tinker with his product and
Tiberius,
his movie.
Do you have stock in LucasArts?
No, not at all.
What is this push right now? Where's this coming from? Why aren't you angry like all the rest of the Geek Squad?
Well, that's the beauty of it. This is the beauty of it. Would it be a fun show to listen to if we talked about, hey, yeah, I hate George Lucas. Oh, yes, I hate George Lucas too. No, it wouldn't be.
Yes.
It wouldn't be. It'd be better if I come on and... Well,
yeah, we'd all agree. There would be no arguing and everybody would live in harmony.
No naysaying and harumphing.
I don't think that that's possible in geek culture that everyone can live in harmony, because that's not the case.
You're clearly, absolutely right.
Clearly, look at the comments on our site. You will know.
There is no harmony whatsoever.
All right, let's move on to a next item of discussion. Like Eddie Murphy hosting the Oscars, it's official. What do you guys think? Is Eddie Murphy going to bring it, or is he going to bomb?
That's like having, like, that's like when The Who played the Super Bowl. Like, that would have been so much better 15 years ago.
Yeah, see, that's exactly what I was saying. I'm like, had this happened back in the 80s, early 90s, fine. It would have been awesome to see him host. But now, after everything he's kind of done, he's not funny.
I don't know. I would much rather see someone like Tina Fey or Ricky Gervais. Or even, you know what? Even we were talking about Curb Your Enthusiasm. I'd rather see Larry David host this. You know, I mean,
that would be fun.
That'd be hilarious.
Because you know it's going to be funny with Eddie Murphy. It's like, you know, I just...
When I hope it's going to be funny.
I just think he's going to be... He's going to walk out in one of his Norbit fat suits, you know? And then he's going to play all these different characters during
seeing as the makeup process takes like hours and hours for each, I don't think that's really
going to happen. Not these days.
I wonder if he's going to pull out the Eddie Murphy Raw outfit that he did.
The purple leather suit?
The red.
Yeah. The purple.
That would probably redeem, give me hope that it might actually be good, but... I don't know, man.
You know, I think
it was funny. I loved his early stand-up stuff. When I hear that stuff now, it still makes me laugh. But doggone it, I haven't seen him do anything like that in 20 years.
I'll tell you what, Tower Heist looks like his best work in a long time.
But that's because
of the fact that he's surrounded by other, you know, an ensemble cast.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the only thing that makes me worry. If he comes out and says to people, and he's like self-deprecating and making fun of himself and other people and just not giving a crap, that might be funny.
Yeah, that's what I think is going to happen. I feel like he's going to surprise a lot of people. For the record, I still kind of think that the Oscars are like pretty questionable as an organization, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Well...
Like a relevant organization, I should say. But I think you
more
know
relevant than the MTV Movie Awards.
Thank you. That's
amazing. No. That's true. But I just mean like, yeah. Anyway, I'm not even. That's a whole other argument. But anyway, yeah. I think Eddie Murphy's gonna be fine. To be honest with you, I think a lot of people are like, I don't know. But I think he's gonna be good because those movies that we keep talking about and those ones that he's been making over the past few years, he didn't write those. Like those are, you know, that's other writers who think that, oh, this is my chance to make Eddie Murphy funny again. And a lot of those we have to remember are like family films. So of course that we're not gonna like them. They're not geared towards us. So maybe on a big stage like this, and if he can be self-deprecating, I think he'll be fine.
Okay, Eddie Murphy, 50 years old, He's 50 years old, if you guys can believe it. I thought he was a lot older. But just as a frame of reference, here's some other 50-year-old actors. Like I honestly think could have done better. Pierce Brosnan, maybe. I don't know. Denzel Washington is also 50. I don't know. Was he busy? Does he have a movie come out? No. Also would have been a good choice. Dennis Leary.
But they're not funny. Dennis Leary's funny, but the other guys aren't that funny.
Neither is Richard Gere. He was going to be my next one, but I just kind of scratched that from the list. You've seen Mamma Mia. Pierce Brosnan is hilarious in that.
What the hell? Are you serious?
Mamma Mia. Here I go again.
That's actually a good film.
Yeah, exactly. It's a good film. got Tiberius play a hating in here.
Well, all I got to say is one thing about Eddie Murphy that I'm excited. After it was announced, I went back and rewatched on YouTube My Girl Likes to Party All the Time. And all I've got to say is if he comes out as a musical opening number and does that a rendition of My Girl Wants to Party All the Time, the question is who would sing it, fill in for Rick James? The point of the matter being, I would like to see that happen.
It's not going to happen.
Dave Chappelle would fill in for Rick James.
Dave Chappelle hosts the Oscars.
Dave Chappelle could have hosted it. There we go.
Thank you. Hell yeah. Very well said. I don't know.
Damn. Oh, well. What's done is done. We'll see how it turns out. But, Fried, did you want to talk about Ridley Scott?
Oh, yeah. So Ridley Scott is doing a new Blade Runner. Although it's not going to be a sequel, a prequel, it's just going to be in the same universe and not with the same characters.
So what? Like the Bourne Legacy.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, pretty much. So it seems like an interesting idea. I love Ridley Scott returning to sci-fi. He's doing, you know, Prometheus and then Blade Runner. But I don't know why the hell he's doing Monopoly.
What the hell is that?
I don't know.
That was one of those projects, the economy and all. It was announced like so many years ago, and we haven't heard anything about it that I thought it was dead for the longest time. And then I just saw that Venkman or somebody posted something on it today, and I was like, no, I thought it was dead. Oh man.
Yeah, Monopoly's never gonna die.
But
it's interesting because Universal made this, you know, deal with Hasbro where they were gonna do all these films for Hasbro. Right. They got Battleship coming out, you know,
which does look good.
Yeah, it looks like it's gonna be entertaining.
So who knows?
You guys are crazy,
all right.
And they spent how much money on it? Like $275 trillion.
Oh my god, are you serious?
Yeah, trillions. They're in
the
trillions.
We could have erased our national debt with that money, but you know, whatever.
For the record, I think Battleship looks like utter garbage, but we'll move on from that.
Yeah, any movie that has Rihanna in it,
I think that's the only movie she's been in, hasn't it? Isn't it?
That's my point.
What? That's what he said, Venkman. Any movie that has Rihanna.
her as a naval officer? Sorry.
I don't see her as it either, but whatever. I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be entertained. It's a popcorn flick. I know it's not going to win any Oscars, but I think if I go to it, I'm going to be entertained?
No.
No? You don't think I'm going to be entertained?
You might be entertained.
I'm trying to keep a good attitude here for the Battleship.
Jesus, Ben. All
right. He knows I'm messing with them.
Anyway, they were also working on the Ouija movie with McGee. They dropped that one with Michael Bay, who was producing that. So now they're shopping that around at other studios. They had Monopoly. They dropped Monopoly, but that's still in the works.
Who would play Uncle Moneybags in the Monopoly movie? What kind of old actor?
Anthony Hopkins.
How about Anthony Anderson?
What?
How about Eddie Murphy?
Go against type.
Eddie Murphy.
Majorly go against type. I don't know. I think basically the reason Ouija I heard was dropped is because they decided they wanted only to have a director with a first and last name, and Mick G just wasn't cutting it. And basically they decided, you know, it's not worth it. We're not doing it. We don't trust this guy. You know, it's they added it to their list. They don't trust people with just one name. They also don't trust people with ponytails or goatees. So that just goes to say right there.
I have
Clue was the other movie. Clue. Gore Verbinski's Clue was dropped too.
Yeah.
Gore still in development. Not had luck at all lately.
No, his movies just keep getting dropped, but that's because his budget. He wants so much money for his films.
$215 million for a Lone Ranger.
Yeah, so, I know. It just doesn't make any sense for a Western.
I don't think he realizes he got incredibly lucky with Pirates of the Caribbean, and.
I don't think a lot of filmmakers realize that the movies they're making these days can be done at half the price or less.
Now, Rango was good. I thought Rango was
one of the really good. I love Rango.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't know, did it cost as much?
No, it's animated, so there's usually just a set budget for that. Yeah, so
I think it was still like $100 million or something.
Yeah, well, but that most CG animated movies are.
At least good-looking ones.
Yeah.
He acted out the scenes. They had the actors act out the scenes instead of sitting around a mic. And that's
think about that. See, if Gore Verbinski would have, you know, kind of been like, hey, you know, let's just do it the old-fashioned way, they could have saved $50 million.
But I still don't think it would have been – I don't think it would have been as good, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that added a different layer to that film. But I don't know why we're talking – anyway, that's –
What were we talking about? What?
That's my point. That's my point.
We were talking about Ridley Scott.
That's my point.
We were talking about Christopher Walken in a fat suit playing Uncle Pennybags in the Monopoly movie.
Moneybags. You can't buy Boardwalk for pennies. It's high real estate right there.
Yeah, but he has a million pennies.
That's $100,000.
I know.
It's not a lot. Whatever.
He's opening a Subway franchise. That's what he's doing. Okay, sorry.
For the record, it is Uncle Pennybags. I just looked it up on Wikipedia. But
Uncle Pennybags.
Oh yeah,
you looked it up on Wikipedia. So legit.
Just throw
it up. To college, you get thrown out for plagiarism for copying Wikipedia. So.
It's true.
Not that I would know.
Things have changed since I was in college.
Oh, and do they no longer use card catalogs?
Oh. And Ben didn't go to a real school, so you know we.
Ouch.
Ben, this is a mean spirited podcast.
This episode.
I don't know.
All right. Well, let's focus all that hate. We've got better impressions of the Superman suit, and you've been able to take a better look at what Henry Cavill looks like in his blue
super boner outfit.
Yeah,
that is what I'm looking at right now. I'm looking at a man who's wearing a very tight suit, awkwardly bent over, trying to hide his penis because it is protruding out of the suit, and it's actually accessorized by a silver like medallion above it. And I gotta ask why.
Well, he probably doesn't have one. He's just super, right? So that's how that goes.
good answer, Mazer.
But you know, I don't like I was pretty adamant about my hate for the suit. I think the S looks a bit better, but it's weird. I'm okay with losing the underwear part, you know.
The overwear.
I don't know if I am.
I don't know if I like looking at that. I don't know if I like the extra, like, I don't know what you would call it, like the girdle, like belt type thing, and like I can live with the arm guards, but I don't know. It still feels really weird to me. I hope there's maybe an evolution of the suit through the movie, or it's just we're looking at really terribly angled set photos.
Well, it's like a moot point at this point. I mean, have they discussed who the villain's going to be or any of that yet?
Yeah,
General Zod and his crew.
Michael Shannon. Well,
all I'm saying is there better be over-the-top fights, because I'm tired of attending Superman films only to see Superman not be Superman.
Well, that's the big reason why Zack Snyder is directing the film. So
yeah. I think we're going to be happy if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah,
which it's going to have more than just that too. But yeah,
yeah.
What are else you is going to be happy? Are you?
I don't know if I'm going to be happy. Like, I feel like I don't know. Like, I want to see Superman take on, like, I don't know, some giant thing that would just beat his ass. Maybe kill him. Maybe I want to see the death of Superman. Epic. How about that apocalypse fight where he just gets demolished and he dies? The end.
Yep.
Then it ends with Superman dying.
Maybe second or third film. Second or third.
You know what? I really think that, like, I agree with you, Mazer. I think it'd be better suited to see Superman, if he's going to die at all, in a second or better yet, third film, or better yet, not at all. That's my personal opinion.
Okay, so what movies are you guys excited to see this weekend? We've got Contagion. That's the that movie with Matt Damon.
Yeah. Looks depressing.
It looks depressing, but thank God Gwyneth Paltrow dies near the very beginning of it.
What? You just ruined it.
Oh.
The trailer.
Spoiler alert.
It's in the trailer.
I know, I'm just joking, guys.
Who is this guy?
It probably happens in the first 10 minutes.
It probably does.
Because you hardly see her in the trailer anyway, so.
Well, okay. How about this? I was sitting watching TV with my parents, and my stepdad astutely pointed out that the movie's about a virus, and there's a shit ton of running in the trailer. And he's like, well, that's retarded. Who can run from a virus? And I was like, that is an excellent point.
That is a brilliant.
And now I really don't want to see the movie based solely on the fact that, yeah, there's a lot of running and rushing around for a virus.
But that's how I felt about M. Night Shyamalan's what movie was it called?
The Happening.
The Happening.
Is it Happening?
Where it's like... The Happening, where everybody is running away from...
The air.
That would be another movie I did not see.
The air's coming. Everybody outrun the air. Like, whoa, are you guys serious? Is this really a movie? They jump in a Jeep, and the leaves are blowing. And they're trying to speed away from the blowing leaves. It's just, wow. If you haven't seen it, you should watch it just for the pure horror of how bad that movie was.
Yeah, that and the facial expressions that Marky Mark and the rest of the cast made.
Mm-hmm. What?
Let's talk about Marky Mark.
What are you talking about, man?
He was excellent in The Fighter and Invincible and the first Planet of the Apes remake.
I was with you. That. Yeah, I was and Planet of the Apes.
And Max Payne. And no.
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 No. Warrior. It's coming out.
That looks good.
That looks like it's going to be good. Two brothers fighting each other for the championship.
I just keep hearing the radio commercial. This is unbelievable! Right?
Yep, that's it. There you go.
I didn't even know there was a radio commercial for it. Now I know.
Yeah.
Pretty psyched.
And Burke and Hare? Is that coming out? Isn't that out?
Simon
I thought
Pegg.
That was out.
Yes, it's coming out now. Simon Pegg and Andy Serkis.
Okay.
I know nothing about it.
Apparently Simon Pegg doesn't either, because I follow him on Twitter and he has made no mention of it whatsoever.
He did it for the money.
Apparently, because like I have not seen any plug. I didn't even know this movie existed, so I was kind of shocked when you said.
There was a long delay since we've been really posting stuff on it, though.
Now, this movie has been talked about for, what, two years now?
Yeah.
It's finally coming out.
Oh, so it was shelved for a while?
I don't know what was
going on. I don't know.
It just kind of sat in limbo for a while, waiting to figure out how they were going to release it, I guess. But anyway, why don't you guys want to plug your stuff or what?
Did we mention Warrior?
Yeah.
Yeah,
sure did.
Yeah, we talked about it. It's over.
Yeah,
I was asleep at the wheel.
Okay.
I think that looks good, though.
It does.
Awesome.
Tiberius chiming in.
Thank you.
40 seconds later.
Yeah, yeah. I was asleep at the wheel. I was thinking about something else. Anyway, go ahead. Go ahead, Ben.
Okay. You guys can check out the Not Just New Movies podcast. It's a podcast that I host where we talk about, surprise, surprise, not just new movies. You can find it posted on geektimer.com. You can also subscribe to it in iTunes for free. All the back episodes are at notjustnewmovies.com. We talked about Tombstone this week, which...
That was a good episode.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. It's like one of my favorite movies of all time, so good stuff there.
I like Tombstone better better than the Wyatt Earp with Kevin Costner.
Yeah, I never even saw that one.
Yeah.
You should see that one, but it's not as good.
It's Tombstone way better. Long. It's it a drags. Very slow, long movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and then in the Not Just New Movie podcast, we talked about how they wanted to do a different type of film, and yeah, it's Costner got the long, boring film he wanted to do.
Yeah.
Were you on this episode, Mazer?
No, I just listened.
I wasn't sure. Just thought I'd ask. You know what's funny is that I happen to also host a podcast. I don't know what the luck of this is, but this is crazy, man. It's known as the Popcast. And funny enough, you can also find it on geektimer.com.
That is hysterical.
Yes, it is hysterical. And guess what? You can download it and listen to it on iTunes as
what?
Well as
yes.
Yes.
For free?
There's no charge.
Nice. It's free.
Unlike anything George Lucas sells.
Exactly. But on top of that, follow the Popcast at the_Popcast on Twitter. And there you go. Thank you.
Wow. All right. Thank you.
Can I plug my Twitter?
Plug your Twitter, dude.
All right. I'm looking for more females, preferably female geeks. You can find me at Mick Jost at the request of Jim to use a more official name than my original moniker. But yeah, like I kind of get disappointed when I see that Jim has 200 more followers than I do. It's kind of embarrassing for me personally. So guys, get on it. Just, you know, at McJost. Yeah. Awesome.
Guys, but mostly ladies. Is
that yes, but mostly ladies.
Yeah.
Because there's too many guy followers.
And on that note, I'd also like to say that Jim _ Napier could also use more Twitter followers as well.
Isn't
so that
many.
I can continue to. No, I do need more. And I do need more. Just so you know.
Don't feed his ego.
No, I do need more. My ego needs more.
All right. And with that, we'll kind of start closing this up. You can buy free Geek Tyrant stuff at geektyrant.me if you...
It's not free stuff.
It's not free stuff.
That doesn't make sense. You can buy free stuff.
You can buy free shipping.
You can buy some free shipping. It's great. So stop on by. Pick something up. Also new, don't forget to subscribe to our new Geek Tyrant Daily Newsletter. With this, if you've missed anything throughout the day, we just email you a day's worth of Geek Tyrant news for you to check out and just get caught up.
You know what's crazy is, I put this together every single night.
Yes, you do.
We post so much stuff that I am surprised by the stuff that we have covered. And what's crazy is even though it's a wrap-up of the previous day's news, we're still, like, days ahead of everyone else. That, like, even the newsletter is still, like, breaking news compared to some of the other websites out there.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, I can imagine it.
I won't say who we're still kicking butt, but, like, yeah, 24 hours after, it's still
pretty much
still pretty good news. So
we pissed excellence.
keep in mind that's because of people like Venkman and myself who constantly post, yep. As well as people named Mick or Robot Reagan. But
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, it's amazing just how many things I see that's just like, oh yeah, we beat them by 4 days or 3 days, which means the newsletter's still 2 to 3 days ahead. So.
Pretty relevant, if we do say so ourselves.
Yeah, so
and we
check
do.
It out. Yeah, I'm saying.
Yeah, we are in no way modest about how awesome we are.
No. Apparently not.
Okay,
All right. You can subscribe to this podcast, Geek Tyrant Weekly, on iTunes for free. And like us on Facebook, facebook.com/geektyrantfans. You can keep up with our news there. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/geektyrant. If you're there, you know, we respond to you guys. We'll hit you up, you know.
Yep.
Other than that, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Make sure to join us next week when we talk about sombreros full of peanuts.